Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is Finsider Radio, and I am Matt Cannata, and I am joined by Houts and our resident soccer dad, Sutton, and it is great to have everyone back here for another edition of Finsider Radio. And even though the Dolphins are out of the playoffs, there is still plenty to talk about in terms of what they've been doing this offseason thus far, how they're moving forward. And I do have a little bit of inside information for all of you listeners out there. In regards to the Dolphins scouting department, it's a small nugget, but it's an important nugget, and I'm not going to get into that until a little later in the show. So I'm going to make you listen for a little bit. I'm sorry, but that's what we do on radio, right, guys?
Teaser.
That's right. Suspense, like baby.
It. Yeah, so it's called a tease, and we're going to keep you here for a little bit, and you're going to be forced to listen to us, whatever we want to talk about. And we had the conference championship games this past weekend, and they were pretty much duds, which was a little bit surprising. We'll get into that a little later. We're going to kick things off with the Dolphins, though. And my man, Houts, has an absolute man crush on Dante Hightower and would absolutely love Dante Hightower in a Miami Dolphins uniform. There's a slight problem, though, with all of that. Jamie Collins, who was traded to the Cleveland Browns for a third-round pick in the middle of the season, just signed a brand spanking new contract yesterday. And it is a 4-year contract. It is worth $50 million. That is right. 5-0. $50 million, 4 years. $26 million guaranteed. That's a lot of them. That's more than half the contract. And you can obviously see how well I do in math because I was able to figure that out very quickly on the top of my head. But $26 million.
You're a bright guy, Matt.
You're super smart, dude.
I don't make the money I make for nothing, right, boys? All right, so
it's true.
So I mean, he's an inside linebacker, right? Jamie Collins is a good ball player. Don't get me wrong here, but Dante Hightower is better. So is Melvin Ingram. But now the market is set. The floor has been set. $50 million, $26 million guaranteed, and just a 4-year deal. If you average that out, and I am sure the contract is backloaded and we haven't still gotten all the details, a $50 million divided by 4, and here's some more math for you, that's $12.5 million per year. That's a lot of money. Are the Dolphins willing to pay that much for Dante Hightower? Houts, tell us why the Dolphins should pay that much for Dante Hightower.
See, and I just want to say, I mean, the money, that's a lot of money, and I'm not sure that the Dolphins or even I would be willing to pay that much money. But as far as Dante Hightower, I don't think there might only be one or two linebackers in the league that are as good as he is at both stopping the run and against the pass. I mean, I think he's one of the best pass-rushing inside linebackers in the league. And I just think that if you brought him in, I mean, he would immediately start at middle linebacker. He'd be able to move Kiko outside to his natural spot. And I think just having that guy in the middle of the field, they say he's the quarterback on the defense. And, I mean, having him in there, I mean, you get Rashad Jones back. I feel like the defense would instantly improve. And I think that he's the kind of playmaker that the team needs. He would improve that 30th-ranked run defense from last season. And, I mean, we struggled the last several years against tight ends. So, I mean, to be able to have Dante Hightower in there as a playmaker, I mean, it's $12.5 million a year, $50 million over 4. I mean, that's huge money. I don't know if the Dolphins are willing to pay that. I don't know if they should pay that, but, I mean, you get one of the best linebackers in the league. He's turned 27 in March, and you take him away from the Patriots. So, I mean, if it were me, it's not my money. It's easy to say. I would sign Dante Hightower, but, I mean, if the Dolphins don't do it, I completely understand.
Yeah, so let's take a little quick look at Dante Hightower before we get to you, Sutton, and your thoughts about Hightower. He does have an injury history. So when you're talking about guaranteed money, that's going to be a sticking point when it comes to negotiations. Obviously, you're going to be taking a risk on a guy who has had quite a few injuries. He's been active for 71 of 80 possible regular season games in his career. But he has been at all 16 games in a season only once in 2013. Now, that is a concern to me because the Dolphins are trying to move on from linebackers who haven't played a full season in many years. That includes Kouamisi and Delanie Jenkins. But like Hout said, he is a physical specimen. He was picked in the first round of the 2012 NFL Draft. 6'3", 265 pounds. That combination of size and speed, it's extremely rare in an age where many teams are seeking out, you know, guys who are a little bit leaner than that, who are more capable of staying on the field when it comes to coverage. According to PatsPulpit.com, part of SB Nation Network, in 13 regular season games in which he was active in 2016, Hightower was on the field for 86.3% of the team's defensive snaps. That's a high number, but when you really break it down, do you want your probably in this case second highest paid player on defense, because you have Ndamukong Suh on the Dolphins, missing just about 14% of your snaps? That is a question worth considering. Now, PFF ranks him one of the top 10 free agents coming out in just a short while, but remember the Patriots can franchise tag him. He had an overall PFF grade of 88.6. He is tremendous against the run. He is tremendous when he drops back in coverage. And he is tremendous when he rushes the passer. 0.56 yards per coverage snap was the second lowest for a 4-3 outside linebacker. His 17.4 pass rushing productivity was the third best for a 4-3 outside linebacker with at least 40 pass rushes. To date this season, in five seasons, he's made a total of $15,479,877. He's going to make that in 1 year, wherever he ends up. Now, do the Patriots franchise him? I don't think so, because they just got rid of a guy named Jamie Collins, and they're still leading the league in defense in terms of different stats. Now, for you, Sutton, after hearing all that, after hearing Houts, would you pull the trigger on a guy like Dante Hightower?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the short answer.
All right, moving on.
I think you have to – what did you say?
I said moving on.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and skip me. no, just to, you know, delve into the details just a little bit more, I think, and Houts alluded to this. We're signing somebody away from the Patriots, but we're getting key information too in that same light. So we'd be getting key information and taking somebody away from the Patriots defense. But you have to also look at the fact that if we can put him at middle linebacker, which I assume we would do, that moves Kiko Alonso to the weak side linebacker. So we're actually improving two positions with one move. So I think that's an efficient move. So what it really boils down to is what you said, MC Money, and that's the injury history. And that's something that this regime last year certainly was willing to take a gamble on. So I think if medically he checks out, I think that's obviously works in the Dolphins' favor. But in the back of my mind, you know, the Patriots did just lose Jamie Collins, so that might actually heighten the fact that they need to keep Dante Hightower. I'm just thinking of recent history of them not showing much love to linebackers, actually cycling through them fairly rapidly after, you know, having Teddy Bruschi and Mike Vrabel there for several years. But after that, it seems like they've gone through and churned the linebacker position. So it's interesting to see if, from their perspective, if they're going to keep him or not. And then if he does become available, what kind of offer that we may or may not make. But if I'm the general manager, I have to strongly consider a move like that, because that gives us way more flexibility in the draft. We can't go into the draft needing two linebackers and two defensive ends. I mean, that just pigeonholes us, and that – I think that's the type of recipe for a draft disaster. So we need to be able to patch some of these holes, and Hightower does multiple, you know, he patches multiple holes with one move.
You're right. And those are all very valid points. And the Dolphins will need to make that decision and figure out what they're going to do with that. Now, there's another guy on the market named Melvin Ingram. And there's a lot of debate about him, mainly because when people look at Melvin Ingram, he was a 3-4 backer in San Diego. Remember, though, he came to South Carolina as an inside linebacker when he went to college. And in South Carolina, he played in various positions across the front seven. So he's a very versatile player. When he was coming into the NFL, back at the scouting combine, he was labeled by NFL.com as one of the most athletically gifted prospects in that year's class. And when he was a 4-3 in South Carolina, even then people said he would go into a 3-4 and be able to fit in as an outside linebacker. So when people talk about Melvin Ingram coming to Miami, the question automatically becomes, well, what position will he play? Will he play outside linebacker? Would he play inside linebacker? Which, you know, Kiko Alonso was an outside linebacker, really, in theory, right? But they moved him to the middle, so they're not afraid to try. And then, or will he be defensive end? And the Dolphins need both. His weaknesses for Melvin Ingram, you know, he's 6'1", he's 264 pounds. So when you start talking about playing inside linebacker, well, Dont'a Hightower is very similar to that. So it's, you know, he has short arms, though. So when you talk about defensive end, you really kind of look at that and think, well, maybe he really can't, because that's going to make it tough for him to eliminate double teams and then trying to get around the edge on the outside, which makes him a more prototypical linebacker. Last season, he ranked 18th at his position according to PFF with an 84.2 overall grade. In 2016, this past season, he ranked 8th. Remember, he was playing in a 3-4 system, though. In that 3-4 system, he has a pass rushing productivity score of 10.7, and his 39 total pressures ranks 5th. His ability to defend the run is very well, and his ability to drop in coverage is very good as well. His 76.0 coverage grade ranks 3rd among edge defenders, and we had talked about Jamie Collins. He was better than Melvin Ingram. Melvin Ingram is a young player in his prime, but just like Dont'a Hightower, he has injury concerns. And where are those injury concerns? Well, after being drafted in the first round in 2012, and he has since then, in 2013, he tore his ACL in his left knee during early offseason practice. He also hurt a knee and then a hip. And then he finally got healthy this past season. Now, coincidence in a contract year? Who knows? But the fact remains that Melvin Ingram could be a good possibility, but the really big debate is, where does he play in Miami? And that's defensive end or linebacker. So, Houts, I'm going to come back to you. Where do you think Melvin Ingram could play? And do you think the Dolphins would pursue somebody like him? Just a quick note, he did play 16 games in 2015 and 2016 after playing 9 in 2014 and only 4 in 2013 when he got hurt. So, Houts, what do you think?
For me, I know you mentioned his short arms and his inability maybe to get off of those blocks and to then turn the corner and get to the quarterback. So, I mean, for me, after thinking things through, I think he probably – fit better as an outside linebacker. I know that's what we've been doing with San Diego. I know they like to move him around. I think, like you said, he's very versatile, so I think it won't be crazy to see him play defense and move around the inside linebacker, outside linebacker, just move all over the defense. But I think ideally the Dolphins might want to use him at outside linebacker if they were to pursue him. But again, I think if you're going to pay either of them money, I think you would almost want to go with the middle linebacker in Dont'a Hightower, but that's a debate for another podcast.
And how about you?
It's an interesting question, and I think if we're going to sign him in free agency, I think we need to sign him as a defensive end. I think that's the investment worth going for. If we did play him, I feel like he would play strong side linebacker with us, and just the way the NFL is evolving and how many nickel coverages are out there on a vast majority of plays now, it seems like. I don't know that we would get our money's worth if we played him as a linebacker and signed him as such. So I think we would need to sign him as a defensive end and expect pass rushing results and see how we go there. Obviously, that would be more costly because defensive ends, just by the very nature of the NFL, get paid more. So we would be paying more for him. But I think that's the investment that we'd be looking to make. I don't know that we would want to pay above average salary for a strong side linebacker that isn't going to be on the field as much as we would want them to.
Right. And he would, of course, if they want to pay big money, I think you have to move him inside, because ideally the Dolphins have been talking about moving Kiko outside, and that's ultimately what they like to do. So we'll have to see how that shakes out. There are a few other linebackers on the market. It's not just limited to these guys, but we'll see. Those are the top two guys, and really we don't have a ton of time to really talk about the other guys here. That will be for another episode. But so that's the two names to really keep an eye out, because they, along with Jamie Collins, will set the market for the linebacker
and
position.
Some money, Zach Brown from Buffalo, that's another name to consider.
He would be my third guy. My concern about him is he had a good year, his only really good year, in a contract year. So you look at you know, history like Danielle Ellerbe, where he had that really good year in his contract year, came to Miami, was absolutely terrible, and hasn't really been an impact since then. So there's always that when a guy's in his contract year, you're really thinking, well, what's he really motivated by, the money, or is things kind of finally clicking for him? So, but he'd be my third linebacker on my list. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But one guy that's going to be tasked with turning this group around after being kind of bad last season is Frank Bush. And the Dolphins have hired Frank Bush as their linebackers coach and assistant head coach. So Frank Bush filling in the role for Matt. What? Yeah, Frank Bush, Rod. Frank Bush.
I had to say Rod after you said Bush. Like, I couldn't help myself. It was like three times in a 5-second span, and I kept it to myself the first two times, and I just couldn't help it the third time. So I'm sorry.
I can just picture you sitting in your van right now just doing this podcast while you're sitting in your captain's seat in the back seat. Yeah, is that true right now? Are you drinking a beer in the back seat? You're just chilling in the garage?
I'm chilling in the Odyssey right now. Man, I got velvet all over this thing, baby. It's delicious in here.
So if you guys ever saw Sutton, and I know we're going completely off track here, but I blame Sutton for it. How saw Sutton?
I think
Sutton looks a little like Colin Kaepernick. Maybe that's just me. But I met Sutton in Cleveland at some random bar, and it was like, dude, we do a podcast together, just come and meet me. So Sutton could have been a serial killer for all I know. He could have been, you know, he could have robbed me, led me into an alley and beat the crap out of me. Luckily, he didn't. He was very nice to me. But you look at a guy like
Sutton. Well, you don't know what happened after you blacked out that night. So we'll just keep that between me and all your friends.
All right. We're not going to go there right now. We'll have a special episode just for
that.
No,
I guess not.
All right. But when you look at Sutton, he is the last person you would expect to drive a minivan. Am I right, Houts?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you did say about Colin Kaepernick. I like to say it kind of looks like if Colin Kaepernick and Shaggy from Scooby-Doo had a love child. It might be exactly the picture Sutton has.
Yeah. So if
a
you
very
guys can...
very politically active stoner.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So all I can
gotcha.
Picture... I can picture Sutton driving one of those beat-up vans, you know, with the tinted windows and just going around throwing candy at kids while he's driving by.
I wouldn't quite go that far. I have enough kids of my own. I don't need to really go out to public to do that kind of stuff.
Did your wife have the kids yet?
No. Due date's March 10th, so it's coming up soon.
Congrats.
And just in case the whole world doesn't know, I'm about to have four children under the age of four, hence all the soccer dad, all that kind of talk.
Soccer dad, Mike Hawk.
But I kind of like being called soccer dad. Does that make me weird? I like being soccer dad.
It makes you very weird.
A little bit, yeah.
So
SoccerDad.com.
So Alpha here on a live thread told me to say something, and I said it, and I didn't realize how it would come out. So thank you, Alpha. Yeah, we're not going to do that again. Mike Hawk. Wow, that sounds really bad. You know, when I was in high school, when we used to see that substitutes, we would write these names down on our on the attendance list. And one time it was a substitute that we knew we could take advantage of. And we wrote tons of hilarious names. And Ben Dover, you get it, Ben Dover. Timber. I forget what else we wrote, but it was really
inappropriate. Did you do my cock?
Yes, we did that. We did that as well. And he didn't realize it. He read, I
did
think,
you do Seymour Butts?
No,
Seymour Butts.
I never heard of that one before, but we did like four or five of them, and he didn't get it until like the last one when the entire class just started dying laughing. And of course, I got in trouble because, you know, I always had to be the class clown in high school. But yeah, that's just a story. Thanks, Alpha. All right. So, Frank Bush, can we get back on original subject that we started about 8 minutes ago?
Rod.
Frank Bush was hired to replace Matt Burke after Mr. Moan as a defensive coordinator. All right, children, we've got to calm down here. He spent the last four seasons as linebackers coach for the Rams, St. Louis / Los Angeles, and has been an NFL assistant since the Oilers named him to the same position in 1992. He also spent time as a Texans defensive coordinator during a career that's also featured stops with the Broncos, Cardinals, and Titans. Like I said, Bush has been named an assistant head coach, and Darren Rizzi has been promoted to associate head coach. The difference, associate is a step under head coach, assistant's more of a step back. Under associate, the associate is more involved in the major details of the organization, where the assistant coach will handle the kind of minuscule and minute details of the day-to-day operations. Chris Cooper has been promoted from offensive quality control coach to assistant offensive line coach, so congrats to him. Now, just some context with Frank Bush. Let's just look at 2013 to 2016 with the St. Louis / Los Angeles Rams. In 2013, he had linebackers Alec Ogletree, James Laurinaitis, Tremaine Johnson, Jalon Dunbar, Will Witherspoon, guys like that. And I'm gonna roll off some stats, guys, and it's very interesting. Alec Ogletree, James Laurinaitis, both led the team with tackles. Ogletree 95, Laurinaitis 85. Tremaine Johnson also in the linebacker position / cornerback position at times. He had 58 fourth on the team. Not a ton of sacks for Laurinaitis and Ogletree. Ogletree had 1.5 and Laurinaitis had 3.5. But the fact is they both led the team in tackles. Let's go to 2014. Again, Ogletree and Laurinaitis leading the team with tackles. Ogletree with 84, Laurinaitis with 81. Again, not a ton of sacks. Ogletree with none, Laurinaitis with 3.5. The next linebacker, E.J. Gaines, played a little bit of combo there, but really the main linebacker there, Tremaine Johnson and Jalon Dunbar, ranked about 10th or 12th on the team. Let's move to 2015. Mark Barron, who played a little bit of linebacker as well, and James Laurinaitis, Tremaine Johnson, they all led the team in tackles. Barron was 76, Laurinaitis was 61, Tremaine was 58. One sack for Barron, one sack for Laurinaitis, no sacks for Tremaine. 2016, this past year, again, Alec Ogletree and Mark Barron leading the way with tackles. 98 tackles for Ogletree, Barron for 90, one sack for Barron. So for me, it's looking at the most recent history of a team. This tells me, and I know the Rams ran a 3-4 front, but this tells me that the linebackers for the Dolphins may not be too involved in blitzing, but more so staying back and containing the run and dropping back in coverage more often than not. Am I interpreting it wrong, Houts, or are you seeing the same interpretation based off what I just read off?
I think based on what you said, I'm getting the same feeling. I mean, it sounds like he's developed some decent players, and it sounds like you said, they're not doing much blitzing. They're staying back in their areas and just containing and keeping everything in front of them. And I think as far as the current linebacking group, I think that's definitely something that the Dolphins should do next season. But, I mean, we all hope that they upgrade the linebacking core. But I do agree. I think that maybe they're taking a little bit away from those guys and letting them just stick to the basics and kind of try not to do too much and not too little.
How about you, Sy?
I'm actually going to disagree with you two. I think I know. Yeah, go ahead and cut me off, dick. No. I think the Rams' defensive scheme has been built around the defensive line, just like ours has, and relying on the pressure of the front four. And the Rams' defensive line has been incredible over the last couple of years, so they've been afforded that opportunity. You know, they've had Robert Quinn when he was at the top of his game. Of course, they have Aaron Donald, who's going to be a consistent all-pro in this league, it seems like. And, they, you know, Michael Brockers. So they've had a consistent upper echelon defensive line over the last couple of years. So I don't think they've needed their linebackers to blitz that much and do all that much other than make tackles. But what puts them in a hole is their offense always consistently sucks. So it's kind of hard to separate, you know, the stats from what the defense is capable of if they actually had a legitimate offense on the other side of that. But anyway, I think the interesting work that Frank Bush did was with Mark Barron, who came out of college as a safety, and he's one of those first hybrid, you know, safety linebacker type molds. So I think that's interesting considering we have Rashad Jones, who's already one of the best in the business, to see if he could even get another level out of Rashad Jones in that aspect, or, you know, any draft prospect that we might get.
Very good point about converting Mark Barron from safety to linebacker, and that could be a possibility for the Dolphins. I know people have talked about Rashad Jones moving down to the linebacker position. I don't know if it will be possible, but it is something to keep an eye on given Frank Bush's history with Mark Barron with the Rams. All right, we're going to move on from that, but it is certainly something to watch as the Dolphins go through the Senior Bowl this week in the scouting process and moving into free agency. We're going to bring in a longtime caller who has not been on the show for a little while, and that is our buddy Chris, a.k.a. Dolphins Fan for Life. Chris, welcome back to Finsider Radio. What do you got for us?
I wanted to touch a little bit on the Melvin Ingram thing a little bit, because I know there's been mutual interest between his party and the Dolphins.
Yeah.
First and foremost, in response to where I think he would play, I would think they would do with him like they technically were going to do with Deion Jordan, move him around, you know, not give him a set position, but you could see him listed as an outside line.
Yeah, no, I completely see your point where you're coming with that. And I think I'm going to give this one to Houts, because he has been following the linebacker talk in free agency and such. So, Houts, what do you think in terms of, you know, what Melvin Ingram can be with the Deion Jordan type piece?
Yeah, I think that's what I touched on a little bit earlier. I mean, like Sutton said, he believes that he'd be better suited as a defensive end, and I think it's a little bit up in the air whether or not he would fit as an outside linebacker and inside linebacker. And, I mean, when we brought Deion Jordan in, he was supposed to be that joker, that guy that roamed around, that we utilized with his hand up, his hand down, drop back in coverage to do all that. So, I mean, I do think that if the Dolphins bring in Melvin Ingram, that would be the kind of role that they must see for him. But, I mean, time will tell. No one really knows what the Dolphins are planning to do with Ingram if they were to bring him in. But I do agree. I do think if they do get him, defensive end, inside linebacker, outside linebacker, I think he uses him as a chess piece and to attack opposing quarterbacks.
All right. Is this Christoph again? Christoph, are you still here?
Yeah, I apparently got cut off. I think my phone dropped the call.
I think so. So did you hear the answer about Melvin Ingram?
Yes, but I did have one more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Regarding Mike Pouncey.
Yeah.
What do we do with him? Hip injury.
Great question.
3 times in 2 years. He says it's not going to be a problem. He's scheduled to make $10 million this year.
Yep.
If we cut him outright or trade him, he's $5 million against the cap.
Right.
But if we mark him as a June 1st cut like we did with, not LRB, but Wheeler and a couple other players, I mean.
I think we did that with
the
Hardline,
amount of games,
maybe.
Yeah.
The amount of games that we play with him, I mean, 5 games he made. What was it, $8-9 million last year for 5 games?
He made $10 million.
I mean, yeah. What do we do with him? And why are so many people so down on bringing Jahman Bushrod back? If we get rid of Pouncey, we need to bring Bushrod back.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
and I get
all,
to keep my sense of humor alive, too, if Bushrod sticks around. I mean, I know we've been lucky enough to hire Bush, but there's still no Rod there. I mean, we need the Rod there. So if we can keep Bush and Bushrod, we're looking at a successful offseason, in my opinion.
All right, let me take this question. First of all, Chris, thank you for calling. We hope you're enjoying whatever you're doing at home. Hopefully you can see through the fog. Anyways, so Mike Pouncey, he has the third highest contract of 60 centers in the National Football League, which is absolutely mind-boggling. Like you mentioned, Chris, if you cut him before June 1st, $5 million in dead money, $3.97 in a cap savings, so it's almost a wash. You cut him post June 1st, $3 million in dead money, but $6 million in cap savings. I'm not really sure the Dolphins are going to cut him. He is decent depth on the line, but when you talk about a center, you want that guy playing pretty much 16 games a season. Am I right? I mean, this is a guy, the center, who needs to have consistency and cohesiveness with the quarterback, and it's the most important position on the offensive line. You can't rely on a guy who is always constantly injured. And you talk about moving him to guard, that's a possibility, but he was kind of a disaster when he played guard last time. I'm under the impression that you could move Pouncey to guard, and with a whole offseason of training, he'd be better than he was before instead of being thrown into the fire. So that's going to be interesting to watch. I still think they have a good chance to maybe put him to guard. I think that's what I would do. And I know there are a lot of people against that who didn't like what they saw, and I agree, I didn't like what I saw either. But again, a whole offseason of training just to be a guard, I think, can do Mike Pouncey wonders in terms of that hip and really not bending down so low all the time and then snapping back up to take on the defender. And we'll watch the situation as we go forward. I'm not going to spend any more time on this. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. But it's a really tough decision because of how much he makes and just how good he can be when he is healthy. But it seems like that is all the things that happen around the NFL. You always look at when a guy is healthy. All right. I don't think we have any questions in the live thread. I'm going to take one question on Twitter from Rob Carruth. We're going to touch very quickly on the Senior Bowl, then we wrap up the show. So Rob Carruth asks, very unlikely scenario. And actually, we're not going to do that draft. Rob, I want you to send me that question when we get closer to free agency. So Rob will ask, can you see any defender showing big improvement with Burke taking over as defensive coordinator? Sutton, I'm going to throw that one to you. What do you think?
Wait, could you repeat the question for me?
Yeah, get out of your van and pay attention. So can you see any defenders showing big improvement with Burke taking over as defensive coordinator?
Man, I was hoping it was going to be Neville Hewitt this year because he had his opportunity with Jelani Jenkins out. I was really hoping that he was going to step up and man that weak side linebacker spot. But I'm going to have to go with Jordan Phillips.
All right.
Just because.
All right.
Say that again.
Nah, I said all right.
Yeah, like I just think he's a big dude that hasn't learned how to use his body correctly yet, and I think he's finally going to get leverage. And I think defensive tackles certainly still have a lot to learn. There's more than just pushing involved. So I think coming into his third year with us, I think he's going to be able to use his body a little bit better and hopefully shore up that interior defensive line. You wouldn't think that's a problem with Sue, but 30th run defense, I mean, we got to do something. So I'm looking for Jordan Phillips to step up.
All right. Thanks, Bob, of course, always for sending in your questions. We greatly appreciate it. All right, Senior Bowl real quick before we wrap it up. The Senior Bowl game is on the 28th, which is this coming Saturday. Dolphins scouting contingent is there, and I said I had a little nugget for you. It wasn't much, but it was very big picture. And it was on Twitter this week, and I can't remember where I saw it, but reports are the Dolphins scouting department is very aggressive this time around. Very on top of things, looking at guys very closely. This person told me it reminded them of the Patriots scouting department and the Ravens scouting department, in terms of how much on top of things they are. And credit Chris Greer for that, credit Adam Gase, credit Mike Tannenbaum for really turning things around. And when you talk about the Senior Bowl recent years, they drafted 2016 Senior Bowl participant Kenyon Drake, in 2015 Tony Lippett, and Jameel Douglas, of course, the year before, and he's not cut. This year, Ben Bolwer, Clemson, and O.J. Howard are playing in the Senior Bowl, and O.J. Howard is a very interesting prospect that you will touch on as the draft gets closer. Guard from the University of Miami, Danny Isadora, cornerback Corn Elder, safety Rashawn Jenkins, and punter Justin Vogel from Miami. So we'll see how this shakes out. This is just another process of the scouting, but that nugget I wanted to share with you, privately I was told that they reminded of the Ravens and Patriots. Publicly it said that they're being very aggressive. Privately I was told that it looks like an entire new scouting department here in Miami, which is a breath of fresh air. Sutton or House, did you want to touch on that at all in terms of what's going to be coming up at Senior Bowl? Who are you guys going to be watching out for? Any prospects that you want to see perform well?
Just first of all, just great feedback to know that we're modeling our scouting department after two perennial top-class draft maneuvers and evaluators to model ourselves after that kind of mold there. That's great feedback to have. In terms of specific college prospects, I'll defer to Houts because he does way more research than I do. But I just hope that we get some top defensive talent with that first round pick and free agency. And I know it's very alluring to go straight to the draft, but free agency does come first. So I'm just hoping that we're able to plug enough holes and feel secure enough where we have some flexibility in the draft, and that, you know, like I said earlier in the show, I don't want to go into the draft pigeonholed in the drafting certain positions. I want to have some flexibility to move around the board and be able to get the best players that are going to make the Dolphins the best team that we can have.
How exciting feedback on the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, you touched on Ben Bolwer, O.J. Howard, a huge tight end that would open things up for Gase's offense. Another name to look out for, Western Kentucky offensive lineman Forrest Lamp. He's a versatile offensive lineman that could probably best suited as a guard. So, I mean, he could definitely help this team. But, yeah, I'm just excited to watch those players play.
All right. Senior Bowl this coming Saturday. Check it out. Look at some prospects. Again, remember, the Dolphins and any other team aren't changing their board dramatically at this point. This is all information they're going to use to confirm their information or to take a second look at their information if they see something they maybe weren't expecting. Pro Bowl is on Sunday. Skills Challenge is on Thursday night. The Pro Bowl is the Pro Bowl, guys. The Dolphins have a few participants. Guys like Jay Ajayi, Jarvis Landry, and Dominican Sue pulled out of it. Cameron Wake is playing. So, yeah, enjoy the Pro Bowl. It's a fun game. See the young guys play for the Dolphins. See the young guys play throughout the league. We're not going to spend much time on the Pro Bowl at all. And then the Super Bowl, of course, Falcons versus Packers. And we're going to save that discussion for next week because we're running out of time here. But did I say the Falcons versus Packers? It's the Falcons versus the Patriots. See,
I wish that was the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I
hate it. Would be great.
So much that I don't want to say their name. So we'll talk about that next week. But
I love that your unconscious didn't allow you to say that name. That was
totally
like the most beautiful thing I've heard in a long time.
I've totally blocked it out. So we talked about Dante Hightower. We talked about Melvin Ingram. We talked about Frank Bush. Waiting for a sign. There we go. All right. We talked about the Senior Bowl a little bit. We touched on that. We talked about the scouting department, how it's being completely like a new breath of fresh air. And we're going to talk about the Super Bowl next week, and we're going to talk about Kenny Stills next week and the wide receiver position, how the Dolphins should approach that not only this year, but moving forward. And again, I do have some inside information for you on the wide receiver position and how the Dolphins want to structure that as we move ahead. But to find that out, you're going to have to listen in next week on Finsider Radio, Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But for now, I am Matt Cannata. I was joined by House and Sutton here on Finsider Radio. We hope you enjoy the show. Enjoy the Pro Bowl. Enjoy the Senior Bowl. And we'll see you next week.